Here we go. Okay. Yep, that was on me, that one.
Hello and welcome to the Super Bayern podcast. Bayern Munich set the world of football alight on Friday with a historic 8-2 win over Lionel Messi's Barcelona. The Bavarians were at their absolute best against their Catalan opposition, making a major statement to the rest of Europe on the way. Olympique Lyon is now the only obstacle standing between Bayern and their first Champions League final since 2013. Hansi Flick's men will no doubt enter that match full of confidence, but they must be sure not to count the team that just knocked out English giants Manchester City out of this competition. Well, I'm Benjamin Scott, and I'm here to talk about all of that and more with my friends Tim Richards.
Hello there.
And Sebastian Zimmerman.
Hi.
I mean, first things first, Bayern Munich beat Barcelona 8-2. I mean, what a game. I was asking myself or thinking earlier, you know, where do you even start after something like that? And I do actually have a good starting point because I want to get something out of the way at the very beginning. When you have such a historic win like this where one team just throttles the other, it's really easy to say that it was just all on the team that lost, that they were just so bad that anyone could have beat them like that. But Tim, I don't know about you. I definitely don't think that's the case. And I think it's a bit unfair on Bayern Munich to look at it that way, to kind of see it as just Barcelona capitulating. So do you think that this was more Hansi Flick and Bayern Munich just being the architect of this dominance, or is it more so on Barcelona just falling apart?
I think certainly both. I think there's no way that you can win a game 8-2 and just say, well, it was mainly on the opposition not showing up. Much in the same way that Bayern's win against Tottenham earlier this season, the 7-2, you can't just say, oh yeah, but Tottenham were terrible. Like, there were points in this game where Barcelona looked very dangerous. There was a point after about 10 minutes where Barcelona could have been like up 3-1. So I think it's kind of a case of Bayern took all of the chances that they were given, well, like virtually all of the chances they were given, and they really turned it around after kind of a shaky start. I think you kind of have to give as much credit as you possibly can to everybody that did well, while also remembering that this isn't Barcelona of 2011. This is a very slow, very sluggish Barcelona who have been quite poorly managed for quite some time now. But generally, I think that a lot of credit has to go to Bayern for the way that they played.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And if you look at the stats, it sort of reflects that as well. Obviously, this isn't the best Barcelona side that we've ever seen. It's one of the worst, actually, that we've seen in the past decade or so. But when you look at the stats from the game, the possession was almost equal. Barcelona had just barely more. They played more passes than Bayern, so it's not like they didn't have the chance on the ball. Like you said, there was a brief, I'd say maybe 5 to 10 minute period right after David Alaba's own goal, where Barcelona looked really into the match, and it looked like it would be something competitive, something that you would expect from this, you know, two clubs of this size. But I mean, at the end of the game, Bayern outshot Barcelona 26-7. So Bayern had double the amount of shots on target than Barcelona even took in the match. And Bayern just kind of stepped it into a second gear after that little brief period and just put the game to rest. It was incredible. The last game I remember seeing quite like this, and I think everyone's going to be making this comparison for a while, was when Germany dominated Brazil 7-1 in the 2014 World Cup. And that's sort of a fitting segue because I want to talk about Thomas Müller, because he was phenomenal in this game. And he started the scoring in this game just like he did in the game in the World Cup. And when he was asked, you know, if these two games compare after the match, he actually said that the game against Barcelona was a little bit easier than it was for Germany to beat Brazil 7-1. So I think that kind of tells the story. But looking at Thomas Müller, Sebastian, it was just a historic performance on a historic night. Just a few stats. No player now has scored more Champions League goals against Barcelona than Müller. I think he took his tally up to 6 with his 2 goals. Sort of fitting, he also became the German player with the most Champions League appearances, and then contributed to Barcelona's helped contribute to scoring more goals against Barcelona than anyone has since the 1940s. So Thomas Müller, Sebastian, I'm not even going to ask if he was your man of the match because there's pretty much no question, but just talk about how excellent he was against Barcelona.
I find this comparison to the 7-1 against Brazil really fitting here. And yeah, it is all Thomas Müller in this one. He was really brilliant because his goals were the very important early goals where it was not very clear how this one would end, because like in the first like 20 minutes or something like that, it seemed pretty open where this game would be going. It was not like everything was clear in the first minute, and it is very nice. I think it is very, very fortunate that Thomas Müller in this game, yeah, also got the goals for himself. So everybody can see this. Everybody will have to agree that he was really brilliant, and that Jogi Löw has made probably a huge mistake by taking him out of the national team. He was everywhere. So it was basically he was playing like he has a lot of times over the season, but it was more flashy than usual, of course. I think it was the first goal. That one was really brilliant. It was really great execution on that one. Everybody basically they didn't hurry too much, but they had a clear idea in mind what they wanted to do. They were really patient, but also kind of, yeah, they didn't wait really, but yeah, they just knew what they wanted to do with this one, and they were very determined but also patient at the same time. And I really like that, because usually you either struggle with the one or you struggle with the other. You either want to run through a wall, which obviously is not the best idea, or yeah, you're just hesitating too much, like we often see in players like Kingsley Coman, and nothing like that happened on that one. And yeah, Müller was just the most important part of that whole thing, and of definitely the first half, but it was also very good later in the game. I guess we can say that, yeah, some people shown more in the first half, and others kind of picked it up in the second half. But Müller, I think, was really brilliant for most of this game, and it's definitely a 10 out of 10 for me, mm-hmm. No doubt about that. And it's really nice that he also got those goals in this one.
Yeah, definitely. I remember when we were wrapping up the Bundesliga season, we sort of looked back and we talked about how Robert Lewandowski is probably the best player on this team when you just factor in ability as a footballer. But then we kind of had this discussion that he may not be the most important or the most valuable player on this team. And we talked about how the argument could definitely be made that it's Thomas Müller. And I think that you were kind of talking about this. I think the game against Barcelona just shows that. Not to take away anything from Robert Lewandowski as a player, but Thomas Müller just sort of embodies this Bayern team right now. And I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that Hansi Flick would not have been able to turn this Bayern season around if it wasn't for Thomas Müller. And he just plays such a crucial role in how this team operates. He's always driving the press forward. Whenever you get to watch the matches now without the fan audio, you can just hear how he's constantly yelling at his teammates to drive forward. And yeah, like you said, it's great that he's now doing this on the biggest stage so that the rest of the world can see that, you know, Thomas Müller's still got it. And I mean, right now is easily one of the best footballers on the planet, top five at the very least. That's at least in my opinion, but I don't think you can make much argument against that. But Tim, obviously Thomas Müller was great, and when you beat a team 8-2, it's a holistic team performance. But I don't know if maybe there's another player or two that you want to mention if we're going to look at individual performances.
Yeah, there are like a couple of things that like really stand out. I think this was a fantastic game from Goretzka. I know that with the whole rumours of Thiago leaving, it's sadly becoming less about rumours now. With him leaving, it's likely that Goretzka is going to be the person to have to step up. I've kind of been in two minds about it, because I think he's obviously gifted. He obviously has like the physical presence in the center of the pitch that you really need, with, you know, looking back at guys like Van Bommel, Schweinsteiger, Ballack. But there was just something that he doesn't quite have that Thiago does. It's not just like flair and agility, because Goretzka is like very quick on the ball. He is nimble. But there is just something that's kind of been missing. This is a game that if he could, you know, if you could almost get that sort of, I guess, like guarantee that he could do that sort of thing week in, week out, which maybe is a little bit unfair because Thiago is almost famously inconsistent. I think maybe that's a bit unfair on him as well. I think this was a very good, this was a very, very good performance from Goretzka that showed that he is good going forward and he's good coming back as well. This was the first time that I saw him in the middle of the park and thought, this is a guy that is clearly taking this game by the scruff of the neck. Because before he's kind of been quiet, like almost invisible at times, which I guess kind of really does kind of like justify what Rio Ferdinand said, how he's not the sort of player that gets onto like Instagram highlight reels. Was, I think he said something along the lines of he does all of, like he doesn't do the flashy things. He does all of the really simple things very well, which is great. You need somebody to show up and do the simple things. It's kind of a bit like James Milner in that sense. Not really the most exciting player to watch, but absolutely necessary to have for like long-term success. So I think like Goretzka did really well. Alphonso Davies, I'm sure we'll touch on him very shortly. I can't sing his praises enough. I think he's been absolutely phenomenal. And this game really, like obviously this was like a lot of pressure for him because have fun marking Messi. Like, yeah, cool, you've had a really great season. Now have the biggest challenge that you could possibly face. He did it phenomenally. I think like those two really stand out. But like generally everybody did. It was a fantastic team effort.
Yeah, I want to talk about Leon Goretzka first. And I think you're spot on with your analysis. And I don't know if you saw in the chat, I kind of said the same thing as you just said after the game that yes, I've been impressed with Leon Goretzka in the past. And there's no doubt that he's a good player. He's been extraordinarily good since the return from the coronavirus break. But against Barcelona, I think, like you said, that's the first time that I've seen him and thought to myself, okay, this is a complete midfielder. He can just run the game. He's sort of the general in the middle of the park. He's doing the defensive work. He's going forward. I mean, his assist was absolutely incredible. That's the sort of stuff that you expect out of someone like Thiago, who's really known for his elegance on the ball. And yeah, he was doing it all correct. It was easily the best performance I think we've seen from him in a Bayern jersey, despite the fact that he's had many more games where he contributed more in the goal scoring department. I think he's really settling into that deeper midfield role. And it's nice to see that he's not only doing that when paired with Joshua Kimmich, that he can do it when paired with Thiago as well. And yeah, it was great to see him play. And Sebastian, I'll let you talk about Alphonso Davies for a bit. And then maybe if you have another player or two you want to bring up as well.
Yeah, I guess first, if you allow, I want to briefly mention that I totally agree on Goretzka here and that I was pretty disappointed by Thiago because if you remember, I was the one who was arguing for Thiago to start over Goretzka, actually, with Kimmich in the middle. Yeah, that was really a bit disappointing for me because, yeah, there were, again, those mistakes. They didn't cost us much this time, but yeah, they could have. I guess we could have allowed Barcelona to score one or two more, but yeah, it was really frustrating to see. And I guess this is the game that showed us that going forward with Goretzka in, as a starter instead of Thiago is probably the right call. Maybe both of them would start even in the next match, of course. But yeah, for the future, it's Goretzka over Thiago, and I guess rightfully so. Yeah, talking about Alphonso Davies. I mean, That was brilliant again. And I guess this is definitely the one situation that is going to show up in highlight reels for years to come. He's just leaving, I think it was Semedo, right? Mm-hmm. He just leaves that guy standing there like it is nothing, not even coming close to him while he's passing him by, like basically a statue or something. Huh. I mean, I'm usually not a guy who's totally gushing over these kinds of tricks there, but here it was just not for show. It was just his means to get by the guy and just, yeah, basically all it kind of felt like it was pretty much a score at the moment when he basically
right.
was around that guy. You usually knew that. I mean, it's like 80% we're going to see a goal right here, so this was just very, very good. And of course, this needs to be said that he looked like the most dangerous fullback in the world, while at the same time, I don't remember any problems he had on defense. The defense maybe was kind of the weaker part. That's why we want it is an 8-2, which is kind of weird, really. But yeah, usually you would expect it to be a kind of 8-0. If anything, just because if you're so good that you score 8 times, it's kind of you just know this from games. Like I remember that this. I guess that was the first time when I was in a football stadium at all. I think, what was it? It's really like 25 years ago or something like that. That was, I think, Germany against something like Liechtenstein, Luxembourg, San Marino, something like that. And this was 11-0, I believe. So this is the kind of context you know this from. If we had kind of problems on defense, Davies wasn't a part of that, if you ask me. Kimmich and Davies were very good. So Kimmich is probably one other name you could mention here. And yeah, the other one I really want to mention, because I think you guys are more likely to mention Kimmich, is Serge Gnabry. He might not have been as great in the second half as he was in the first, but that first half, he really was the other guy who basically decided this game together with Thomas Müller on offense, I feel. Because the Perisic's goal pretty much is on Gnabry, and then the goal he scored himself. Very, very good. And I think we are seeing time and again that Serge Gnabry is really a guy you can trust in these important matches in the Champions League. And that of course is brilliant. So I'm definitely looking forward to seeing him again next season, because I really hope he's going to, well, shake off his problems from this kind of complicated, special kind of season, and he's going to be even better next year, I hope. But of course, first I'm looking forward to the hopefully next two matches and seeing him in those ones. Not to forget about that, of course.
Right. Yes, actually, Serge Gnabry was the player that I would probably have added as well. For the exact same reason that you said in the first half, Bayern were never struggling to get going, but it was really Thomas Müller and Serge Gnabry that were pushing things forward, that were making things happen. And yeah, he was spectacular going forward, getting both a good assist for Perisic. He, you know, like you said, he set up that play and almost entirely on his own. And then his goal, holding off Longley like he did, firing the ball into the back of the net under pressure, was just excellent, excellently taken. But you briefly mentioned Ivan Perisic, and so I want to talk about him for a second, Tim, because he's been extremely consistent for Bayern again recently. And of course, we know that his future is really up in the air right now. We don't know if he'll be at Bayern or not next season, and it's really looking like it's going to be the not rather than that he is. But do you think the way that he's played over these last two games, especially, and then even going back to the end of the Bundesliga season, should that show Bayern that they probably need to make him permanent, especially with Hansi Flick asking for a fourth winger to provide, you know, options on the wing?
Yeah, he's been fantastic. He's essentially been what Goretzka is, but in a wide position. He's not flashy, but he just does it. I think, like, obviously, when you see a winger, you kind of want him to be like really, really quick, really skillful, like very, like a lot of flair, that sort of thing. Perisic isn't that guy. Perisic is the guy that shows up and just gets it done. And I think that's fantastic and kind of exactly what Bayern need, because he has that, you know, he has that, the scumbag mentality that Niko Kovac was so fond of. He's there to do the work. It's a very like undervalued and kind of underrepresented, I guess, gene, I suppose, is probably the best way of describing it. It's like an innate thing. Like, you had it with Mandzukic, you had it with Olic. I don't know if it's a coincidence or not that these are just Croatian players, but there is that mentality that these guys have had, where they show up, they do exactly what they're supposed to, and they don't really do it in a flashy way. I think he would be an absolutely perfect addition to the squad, as in for next season. He's been a more than suitable addition to the squad this season. But to make him permanent would solve a lot of problems. He knows all of the players already. He's not the sort of person that would necessarily complain about play time. He's really reliable. Even on his worst games, he's still working very hard, which is something that, like, I remember speaking about guys like Joshua Kimmich and Mats Hummels and Vidal, even when they're having really bad games, they're still working very hard for the ball. Having that sort of, addition to the squad would be so helpful. And obviously, if he's coming from a team that doesn't necessarily need him, because Antonio Conte at Inter doesn't play with his sort of player, I can't really see any way that this could necessarily fail, because it means that you can still have the younger guys of Leroy Sané, Kingsley Coman, Serge Gnabry, as well as like getting in guys like Baptiste Maia if that opportunity was to ever arise. You can do that whilst also having that sense of guidance from Perisic. I think he's the absolutely perfect candidate for that fourth winger role.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. You make several points. It almost seems like, especially with his situation at Inter, there's no reason for this not to work out. And if he's wanting to stay in Germany, then yeah, Bayern just have to make it happen. We've talked about all the players who sort of impressed us, and we've gone through pretty much most of the team. But I kind of want to reverse that question. Was there anyone, and we'll start with you, Sebastian, that you thought was, and I know you already hinted on Thiago, so maybe you don't have to talk about him so much, but anyone who wasn't so impressive against Barcelona?
Yeah, of course, as you pointed out, Thiago would be the first guy I mentioned here, because it was not as obvious as with the other two you could mention, because the other two are, from my perspective, pretty clearly Boateng and Alaba. Those are definitely the two guys you could kind of criticize here. Both of them mostly, but not only, but mostly for one situation where they pretty much single-handedly cost us a goal. For Alaba, of course, it was this own goal that mm-hmm. would make a number of strikers kind of jealous for that finish there, because you could not make it any more perfect if you're a striker and trying to score that one. He just put it over Neuer, and I think he probably got one or two fingers on it, but it was just well too good, I suppose. And of course, yeah. This is kind of a problem, but I guess you don't want to fault him for that too much, because this can just happen. I think it is very, very unlucky, but he tried to do the right thing and he barely didn't manage to achieve what he wanted there. So this is kind of the smaller kind of criticism from my perspective. I really didn't like Boateng in this one. He didn't look good in several situations, I think. But yeah, the worst was the only one goal that Barcelona actually scored themselves. Because first, his positioning wasn't great. This was not his fault alone. The positioning of the whole line was not exactly brilliant. But yeah, he completely lost sight of Suarez there. And then trying to fix that, yeah, that was just too weak. That was just too easy. It fell for kind of the simplest trick in the book. Yeah, and then I think he even ended up on the ground after that. So, yeah, that was just awful. You cannot do this on that level, and he really should know better. And he really used to be someone who's really good in these situations, and that really was very, very frustrating for me. And, yeah, I guess this could mean that Süle gets even more consideration for the upcoming match and for the final, if it should happen. Because, yeah, you just don't want to see that happen again. And of course, this could also have implications for next season still, because the jury is probably still out on Boateng staying or not. Definitely not a good argument for keeping him that he gave us there. So yeah, that was really frustrating. And I think therefore, it is clearly for me, Thiago kind of and Boateng get a lot of criticism, I guess, from me, and Alaba gets somewhat less so, I believe. Yeah, and for all others, I cannot really criticize anything meaningful about the other players. I guess, well, if we add the subs, maybe Kingsley Coman to an extent, because it was the old Coman problems again. I thought we would be kind of past that, but yeah.
Yeah, I think you make some great points. You brought this up earlier, when you win a game 8-2, you obviously can't complain about the attack. So if you want to single out some issues, you have to look to the defense. You know, why did you allow two goals? And I think that you're right in pointing out in my opinion, Jerome Boateng as the worst on Bayern's team. Not that anyone was particularly bad, but I think for me, this is the second game in a row that I've been disappointed with Boateng. I didn't love the way that he played against Chelsea. I thought that he was already showing some signs there. And then against Barcelona, yeah, I think that he struggled. Like you said, Luis Suarez just turned him around way too easily with just this simple fake shot. And it was a needless goal that luckily didn't end up meaning too much, but it could have maybe got Barcelona back in the game. I can't fault David Alaba too much for the own goal. If anything, I would maybe criticize Kimmich for being caught too far up the pitch playing right back, but that's just more so endemic of the way Bayern hold their high line. And like you said, just a terrible bit of luck. No one could have placed that ball in a better position on Manuel Neuer if they tried. So, but as we kind of start to look forward at the game against Lyon on Wednesday, Tim, you know, Jerome Boateng's not been at his best, not been at the level that he was before the break ahead of the Champions League in these past two games. Nicolas Sulla is fit, according to everything that we see. It seems like he's ready to get back and maybe start a match. And so do you think against Lyon is the time that Hansi Flick makes that switch? Or do you think 8-2 is really not that big of a deal? Let's stick with what's working and keep Jerome Boateng in the starting lineup.
I personally have no problems about Nicolas Sulla stepping in as the starting centre-back. I think he's shown in the last couple of games that he can do it. I realise that there is kind of this predication to, you know, keep things as they are. I know Hansi Flick isn't a huge fan of rotation. And of course, like Boateng has been, he's been reliable. At the same time, he's been unreliable at moments. I think as Sebastian mentioned, him like getting, like when Suarez did his feint for the goal, it was kind of reminiscent of, you know, 5 years ago with Messi. He ended up on the floor. He isn't as agile as he once was. Like when the whole thing with Messi happened back in 2015, that was Boateng when he was at his peak. This is Boateng that's had a lot of injuries and a lot of problems, and he's lost a lot of speed. Against Lyon, this is a team that's going to be playing with a lot of pace, like with Maxwell Cornet, Memphis Depay as well. Like he's coming back from an injury, but doesn't really seem to have lost anything. There's a team that can hit you on the counter. I do think that having somebody like Nicolas Sulla would be much more sensible, if only for the fact that it gives him, without wishing to get ahead of myself, it gives him game time for, you know, hypothetically playing in the final. Because I think even if he has been out for this many months, I would much rather start Nicolas Sulla over Jerome Boateng.
Yeah, and I think you make a great point talking about Maxwell Cornet and then Memphis Depay. Lyon plays a very quick attack. They are probably going to sit back deep and look to hit hard on the counter. And if that's going to be the case, I'd much rather have Nicolas Sulla playing in the back instead of Jerome Boateng, despite the beliefs of the ignorant that Nicolas Sulla isn't the fastest player on Bayern's team. He's very quick for such a big dude, definitely much quicker than Jerome Boateng, and I'd be much more comfortable if he was back there to try and catch up with guys like Depay and Cornet and to kind of shut down those counterattacks. Not that I don't think Boateng could do a job, but I would certainly be more comfortable if it was Sulla. Sebastian, would you agree with us as well?
Yeah, I'm all for Sulla, I guess. Yeah, he's a very good combination with Alaba, I feel. I mean, the Alaba-Boateng combination has worked out pretty well recently. But yeah, they just combine very well, Sulla and Alaba, I feel. And yeah, Sulla just is technically our starter, right? Boateng didn't so much overtake him or anything. It is just that Sulla couldn't play because he was injured, so I just feel like it's the natural kind of progression that he gets back in there. And why wouldn't you want to do that now when Boateng isn't looking so great and Sulla is looking quite good? And, well, we know what we have in him, right? We know that he's really, really good, that he's really, really fast, that he just has this presence at the center of our defense. So, yeah, I really don't know why he wouldn't go for that if, of course, he's completely fine. If, of course, he's really at 100% or close enough, I guess. Hansi Flick will know that much better than we do. But yeah, if these things apply, I would start Suda.
Yeah, Sebastian, I'm going to come back to you because there's really, in my opinion, only one other question about the starting lineup as we go to face Lyon. And it's if Benjamin Pavard has returned, if he's fully fit and ready to go, do you get him back in? And I know you talked earlier about how you were disappointed in Thiago against Barcelona. So do you think if Pavard's fit, maybe we pull Thiago out, push Kimmich back into the midfield and get Pavard back at right back? Or do you stick with what's been working in the past two games?
Yeah, for sure. I would take Thiago out if Pavard is at 100% or close enough. Because I guess on the one hand, Thiago might be a guy who is very good at breaking down teams that are playing very defensively, just sitting back waiting for the counter attack. Thiago could be an asset in such a game, but on the other hand, of course, Thiago can be caught off guard, can be caught out of position in these games when the opposition is just trying to counter as much as they can. This just spells disaster, I feel. Because in these situations, it just takes one mistake and then it can be a goal for this team. And yeah, we should not forget that Lyon is not such a weak team as some people seem to think. Of course, nobody expected them to show up in the semifinal. But yeah, they have a lot of pretty good players, I feel, and they feel like a good team, really, more so than some others, like especially, I guess, like Manchester City, which they beat recently. So we have to take that seriously, of course, and I'm sure Hansi Flick does, but it's, I guess you cannot remind people often enough that we really need to take this seriously. We are not in the final yet. And yeah, so we cannot afford any kind of silly mistakes. And I just feel way more confident we're not going to make silly mistakes with Kimmich and Goretzka in the middle there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I would definitely, I don't know about definitely. I mean, Thiago, I don't think he was necessarily poor against Barcelona, but he does have the track record of making some silly mistakes, crucial mistakes in moments when you definitely don't want any mistakes to be made. So, Tim, I'll pose the same question to you. And then after you give your thoughts on that, I know that you've taken a bit of an invested interest in Ligue 1 since Renato Sanches joined Lille. And I know Lyon aren't necessarily your team, but other than the players you mentioned in Cornet and Depay, maybe there's some other players that you want to point out that Bayern should really be worried about, or maybe some player that you think could have a decisive battle going against Bayern on Wednesday.
I think the number one name that stands out to me, as well as a number of other people, is probably Hossam Aouar. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. And their number eight is probably, if Thiago was to leave, he's the only person that would come in that I think this is fine. Like he's incredibly talented. He's very versatile. He is like an archetypal central midfielder. He wears the number eight shirt. That's kind of good enough for me. If I was to liken him to anybody, this is exceptionally high praise. I would probably say Iniesta, because obviously, okay, let's just take a step back here. He's not as good as Iniesta, but he has that sort of mold of a player who can, you know, there are a number of times where Iniesta's filled in out wide. Aouar can do that. There's just something about when he's on the ball that just looks very comfortable and very calm. And I think that's really fantastic to see from somebody so young. I think he's only 22 still. If he was to end up at Bayern, I would be delighted. I think he's incredibly talented. And I want to say he's like their vice captain, or like one of their vice captains. To have that sort of responsibility at 22 is fantastic. He's the sort of player that I think a lot of people are going to be very interested in the coming months. And certainly years as well. It's still very early. In terms of attack, like obviously they've got Memphis Depay. They've got Bertrand Traore, I think, is there. These are Depay is probably the most dangerous in their attack. Bertrand Traore is a former Chelsea player, like youth player. I think he played for the senior team a few times. But guys like him and Maxwell Cornet are very, like physically very gifted. both incredibly quick and they can dribble, but they do seem to kind of lack that footballing mindset. But then with that, in the middle, you've got guys like Depay and Moussa Dembele as well. But their defence is fairly solid as well, with guys like Jason Denier, who's used to play for Man City, I think, was certainly on their books. It's not going to be an easy game. I think it's not a game that Bayern should think will be easy. I should probably say slightly more accurate. They are there. They're in the semi-finals. That's mm-hmm. kind of enough. Like they're at the same table as Bayern for a reason. Like for all intents and purposes, they are as good as Bayern and PSG and Leipzig. They've got some really talented players, and it's going to be fun to see just what they can do with it.
Yeah, definitely. You talked about Houssem Aouar, the number 8 for Lyon, and Lyon are no strangers to producing some excellent talent, and one of Bayern's own is actually a former Lyon player. So, Tim, I'll turn to you. Is there any chance that we maybe see 30 so minutes from Corentin Tolisso against his former side? Because I know we would love to see it for the narrative purpose, him get to play and potentially score against his former team.
Yeah, Tolisso off the bench is a really great sight to see. He's very energetic, and yeah, he's had a number of physical problems with injuries, especially with his legs. But like seeing him come off the bench, I think it was against Chelsea. He's just a very exciting player, and always plays with like this fantastic determination. I'd have no problem seeing him come off the bench. I think in addition to that, when you know all of these rumors of Michael Cuisson's not really being seen in favor at the moment because he kind of threw a bit of a hissy fit against Chelsea, because I think Flick put on Martinez instead of him, but there's every possibility that this was Martinez's last game at the Allianz Arena. I could see Tolisso get some playing time. I think 30 minutes would be quite good. I think obviously he needs as much time as he can get because he had such a long time out. I'd really like it. I'm always a big fan of storytelling in football, and that's the sort of thing that gets me very excited. I'd really like to see it, and yeah, it would be good for him. And I don't think he's the sort of player to like really, you know, relish the opportunity and right some wrongs. I think he is a Lyon fan, so it would be good for him as well.
Yeah, I think I agree. I don't think that he would be out for vengeance or anything. I do think he'd be, just because of the type of player and the type of guy he seems to be, I think he would love to score against his former club, not in the sense of to really stick it to him, but more so to be able to show his respect and be like, hey, I owe this to you. I came from you, but I'm beating you to go into the Champions League final. And speaking of which, Sebastian, heading into the Barcelona game, you and Garrett and I talked about how we were feeling pretty confident that Bayern were definitely the better team, and that if everything went right, it should be an easy win for Bayern, and we saw how it turned out. How are you feeling heading in against Lyon? Do you think they'll put up more of an opposition than Barcelona will? Do you think maybe Bayern are going to struggle against them because of the deep defensive line they're more than likely going to play? Just how are you generally feeling heading into the match?
Well, I think it's going to be a very different game from the Barcelona game. Because when watching the Barcelona game, it was kind of, the possession was kind of 50-50, which I really like a lot, because that's the kind of Bayern I like to see. That's the Flick brand of Bayern Munich, which is very different from the earlier years, basically, the Pep years, and also kind of different from what Kovac was trying to do. So, of course, it's quite likely that this is not going to be the case against Lyon. You pointed this out, that they are probably going to play quite a lot more defensively than Barcelona was. And, of course, this is going to change things. Of course, on the other hand, yeah, Lyon is probably not on the same level that Barcelona can be. But, yeah, we should not underestimate them, as I pointed out earlier, but on the other hand, it would also be weird to act like, well, Bayern were not the favorite for this match. So, yeah, Bayern just needs to concentrate, but other than that, they need to continue what has been working. It's not the first time this year that Bayern is playing against a pretty good team who's playing more defensively than Barcelona was, so it should be quite doable for Bayern if we have the right kind of mentality, if we have the right kind of lineup. We just need to be a bit more careful because, we cannot expect them. Let's imagine they score two goals, as Barcelona has, well, scored one goal and got one as a gift from David Alaba, as a very beautiful gift, I might add. But yeah, we should not afford having Lyon scoring twice against us, because this would probably get way more difficult to score three or more against a team that is probably kind of is kind of good at defending and is really not ashamed to play quite defensively against us. So I guess this is the biggest problem here, because they really have a number of players who are really, really dangerous on the counter-attack. I kind of expect that Dembélé is going to start again. I don't know. I don't think they're going to do this again. I don't know why he didn't start against City in the first place. Maybe you guys know more about that, but yeah, Depay and Dembélé are pretty nice offense. Two players who could very well have ended up at Bayern at some point. We might also add both of them were heavily linked to us a couple of years ago, I think. So yeah, they're always good for a goal or two. So that this is kind of the biggest problem. This is how I can see this go wrong. If we play, if we are pretty much in control, if we basically are attacking most of the time, but then there's a counter attack, a stupid mistake again, and then we need to score those goals, and they are just going to play even more defensively. This is how I can see this going wrong. And yeah, we just need to concentrate from the start, not make those mistakes we did make even in an 8-2 against Barcelona. And then I suppose we're going to be fine.
I guess I think you're right. Exactly. I'm talking about how that's how Lyon are going to play. And I guess on the bright side is that's exactly the way most Bundesliga teams line up against Bayern Munich is sit deep, hope to hit on the counter. And Bayern have played against that very well since Hansi Flick took over as coach. If I was going to be worried about anything, maybe the fact, when Bayern went to play Barcelona, you're facing Barcelona in the Champions League. It's a big occasion. Everyone's going to be hyped up and ready to go. No disrespect at all to Lyon, but when you go up against Lyon, it's not the same sort of, I guess, wow factor that you have when you play a team like Barcelona with Lionel Messi. And it's sometimes not so easy to get yourself as psyched up to get ready for the game when you're facing a team like that. All that being said, I'm not totally worried about this Bayern side because they are incredibly mentally strong. And for example, when Barcelona tied things up, or when Alaba tied things up for Barcelona in the game the other day, Bayern were rattled for a bit and then responded well. And based on the way Thomas Müller and Karl-Heinz Rummenigge, Hansi Flick, based on the way they're all talking after the Barcelona match, their mentality is spot on. They're not going to underestimate Lyon. They're focused on one game than the other. They're not looking to the final yet. So under normal circumstances, I might be worried about that. But I mean, honestly, I'm very optimistic, very, very optimistic heading into this game. I think it's fair to say that it would be nothing short of a total upset for Lyon to pull something off here. And I don't want to sound, too overconfident and have my words come back to bite me, but that's just how I feel. I think Bayern are the heavy favorites and are going to go out and play like the heavy favorites and hopefully get things done. But Tim, since we have a little bit of time left, let's go ahead and look over to the other semifinal match because, well, it's another French team against another German team. The two Farmers Leagues, as some people might would say, are being very well represented in the semifinals of the Champions League. But you got PSG going up against an RB Leipzig that looked very good without Timo Werner against Atletico Madrid. So maybe we can just get a prediction for the game out of you. Who do you expect to make it into the final against either Bayern or Lyon?
I think if Mbappe starts, then PSG. I think if Mbappe has to come off the bench, but Leipzig have already got a fairly comfortable lead, like 2 goals maybe, then maybe Leipzig. I'd much rather see, I realise this is kind of horrendous coming from a supporter of German football, but I would much rather see Leipzig in the Champions League final than PSG. I feel like both teams have kind of, you know, bought their success, but I do think Leipzig have kind of gone about it in a slightly better way, maybe. Is that going to get me hate mail? Probably. But I think it is. It's something that I'm really off Thomas Tuchel at the moment. I think the way that they played against Atalanta was really not that good, considering the wage bill, considering how much they've spent for players. If he's supposed to be this tactical genius, I get Atalanta are very energetic, very difficult team to play against. But if he is supposed to be as good as, you know, his reputation is, he needs to have done so much better than that. Like, people saying, oh, it's a tactical masterstroke putting Mbappe on. How's it a tactical masterstroke?
What?
Okay, here's a great idea. What about if we put in one of the best players in the world on against tired legs? What a genius. I could do that. Like, it's not that impressive. I think he's clearly got something to him. And this is coming from a Kovac fan, so maybe a touch ironic. But I really don't think that he's as good as his CV says that he is. And I would really very much like to see him get humbled by Julian Nagelsmann, who I think has a much better reputation than his CV indicates.
Yeah, and even before that, I think the tactic of give the ball to Neymar and hope he makes something happen isn't so much, you know, this stroke of genius on Thomas Tuchel's part. So I agree with you on that point. I think Nagelsmann's a better coach, and I think that, you know, you talked about the storytelling perspective earlier. So I think Leipzig can pull it off. I really think they do. I think Nagelsmann will be the youngest coach in the Champions League final. And hopefully it's facing Bayern, and I think that'd be a great narrative, but we'll wait to see there. What about you, Sebastian? PSG, RB Leipzig, who do you have coming out on top?
Well, adding on to what you said at the end there, it would feel kind of strange to have that final against Leipzig, really. I mean, this is strange enough, this kind of tournament situation due to Corona. This is weird enough. I guess from a Bayern perspective, if we end up in the final, I guess if we just think about what's going to be the better final, I'd probably prefer PSG. Because this is going to feel more like a proper final. With all their flaws, they kind of feel like a threat. They kind of feel like the more prestigious club, I believe. But of course, it would also be great for the Bundesliga to have two Bundesliga clubs meeting at the final. This would also be very, very interesting. In terms of who I think is going to win, it is pretty close, really. Because, of course, PSG would normally be your guess, but I think Leipzig is coming with a lot of momentum now after the last match. So it's, for me, it's kind of 50-50. But in the end, I guess, if I were a betting man, I mean, Tim probably knows better about those than I do. I would think I guess Leipzig probably is going to have a great game, and is probably going to come close, but PSG is probably going to win in the end. Maybe due to a Mbappe goal. I could very well see that. I guess, yeah, if I would have to come up with a guess, that would be mine.
Yep. Well, that game's not quite as important yet because Bayern Munich are not yet in the Champions League final. They first have to beat Lyon on Wednesday, and that's what we'll be here looking forward to. But that's all the time that we have for this one. If you've enjoyed listening, or if you're a regular fan of the podcast, please do us a favor and leave us a 5-star review. We would greatly appreciate that. And if you want to get in touch with us, there are a couple ways you can do that. You can either email us at superbayernpod@gmail.com. Or you can follow us on Twitter and get in touch with us there. That's at SuperBayernPod. All of our episodes can be found on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts. We're probably going to be there. Thank you for listening. Go out and tell all your friends, and we'll talk to you next time.